You have found podgoblin.com.
Nothing. Nothing.
Right. Nothing is taboo on this brand.
Dude, usually me talking about poo. Honestly.
Oh, that's you?
That's me.
That's Kenny.
Poo chicken?
Wait, hold on a second. Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, welcome. It's podgoblin.com. Welcome to it. Radio Ronin is now underway. We have a very special guest here with us on this episode of Radio Ronin. Say hello to our good friend from Guys on Girls, Mr. Brad Davis, right over there.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Yes. Hi. Yay. How are you?
Yay.
We've got the lovely and talented Mr. Kenny D.
Oh, hello.
We've got the somewhat surly yet sparkly and effervescent Just Jess
right there. She's kind of really surly tonight.
She's got kind of an edge tonight.
Okay.
I don't know where that came from either, because she's normally just bubbly. Hanging out with Jess is like getting run over by a bushel of puppies.
Yeah, she was trash talking for the pool game.
We just got done playing pool, and I said to you, Brad was here first. Spinari and Brad, Thug Life, Spinari right over there.
Thank you for remembering me.
Yeah, sorry. Hey, here's the thing. So we're shooting some pool, hanging out, waiting for Kenny and everybody to show up. And I say to Brad, I said, look, Jess is on her way. When she gets there, I'm telling you, she's the biggest shit talker in the entire group. She's the one that's going to throw down. She's the one that's going to start hurling insults. And she's not even down the stairs yet going, I'm glad you guys waited to play pool till I'm here so I can beat you. I can beat all your asses. And
she really was surly.
Oh, no, she was.
Surly.
So can you explain why? What's your problem tonight, Jess? We've missed you.
I don't have a problem. I'm just really sarcastic tonight. I'm sorry.
Is that what it is?
But you're welcome at the
same
time.
Is it the play? Is it your Captain
Maybe.
America play that's
Probably.
Doing it?
Yeah. It's closing weekend. I'm getting a little sad.
Yeah, I think it's because she had hecklers tonight, right?
And we had hecklers. I just want to punch someone.
Oh, did you really?
Did you have a heckler, or did the group,
the ensemble
have a heckler? Basically, there was a couple people in the front row that wanted to be a part of the show but didn't audition. What?
And so did you address the hecklers? Did you guys say anything to them?
Oh, yeah. We call them out every time.
Every time.
We were fairly nice because we don't want to be like to the point where they don't come back to the show.
Every time. This is interesting because
usually we call them out.
You'd get more people back if you like just said, listen, mother shut the
family
you
show.
Would get more people.
I would show.
I would go.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'd be cheering.
There was one really huge innuendo, and it wasn't from us, it was like one of the audience members said it. And, like, everyone on stage just, like, turned around and walked away. Like, we were just like, nope.
Really?
I
like how she said, yeah, we have hecklers. It happens. Kenny, you've actually seen this.
Yeah, I saw it last week.
Can you give us, you're the critic in the group here at Radio Ronin, and I'm wondering, do you feel comfortable enough?
You know, I'm not a stage critic, I may not have the credentials to do this. But,
it is
you know,
a different animal, for sure.
I feel like I could probably take it on.
All right.
Let's hear it.
I was the guy in the second row with the arms folded the whole time.
Did you laugh at all?
No, I did.
Okay.
I absolutely did laugh.
At least you
Every
laughed.
Time you guys messed up and went off script.
Because that's the fun part.
It worked.
Normally, Kenny insists on sitting in the balcony so that he doesn't get caught masturbating.
No, that's important.
It is important.
And I, for one, appreciate I'm like those the pervert, of you who do that.
I'm like the pervert Stetler and Waldorf, basically.
We know you're all back there, by the way.
Please so don't masturbate in one of my plays.
When you hear Kenny in the balcony doing this.
That's my noise, by the way. That's my noise.
That's happening.
That's my old face.
Oh, my gosh.
When Kenny reaches that special moment, he sounds like Stetler and Waldorf.
Kenny's O voice.
Like an old man puppet.
Oh, look, the old lady's coming on stage. I just did. I love it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love this new persona, by the way.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So where was this? Where was this held?
It's at the
Off-Broadway
Little
theater at the U that's got like eight or nine rows.
No. What? It's on Main Street in about 300. It's Main Street. Next to the
in
Barbacoa.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Oh. It used to be. It used to be a movie theater. Back
it was,
in the day?
And before that, I think it was a burlesque theater.
It was like, and it used to be called the Utah Cinema One or something like that.
Yeah.
I know where it's at.
Yeah, very small stage.
I saw King Kong there.
Really?
Yeah, back then. The 70s King Kong with Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange. And,
But yeah, there were probably about seven people in the cast. And, and this is a riff on Captain America, and it's called American Captain. Jess plays Sassy Garter, And, you know, there are a bunch of names that are kind of similar to Captain America, and, you know.
Right, sure.
And they create all these... It's a parody.
When does the hilarity ensue?
I'm guessing the auditioning.
But I'm bumped.
Aww. You know, honestly, the hilarity came when something went wrong. Or when someone was playing their part just, like, so crazy that they would just basically try to make the other person laugh.
Is this one of those shows, Kenny, where the script, where it's almost like sketch comedy, like a Second City or The Groundlings or a Saturday Night Live, for example, where there is a script, but it's really more of a guideline than a script?
What would you say, Jess? It felt like that to me that night.
There are definite some parts that we are a little more improv than we are on script.
For example, the Red Skull character, his name was the Crimson Cranium.
Uh-huh.
Which, he's a fantastic guy. He's hilarious.
The whole time he had the stiff upper lip, where his, you know, he just held his teeth right
out
there.
Yeah, and he's got that Jim Carrey thing where he's right, yeah, sure.
And he's doing his best German, and he is arguing with, you know, what's her character's name?
Lola.
And Squishy plays Lola. Little Squishy shout out right there.
Yeah, Squishy, who's kind of one of the quasi-goblins.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You see her at the conventions and helping us out.
So they would just argue. Honestly, a quarter of the play was dedicated to them arguing. And they would argue so much.
It's them trying to break each other.
And they were just trying to break each other. And that's where, for me, that's where the comedy happened.
Is them trying to break their character?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I know you don't really like that.
Yeah, well, see, Kenny, thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, I'm such a theater...
Snob.
Yeah, I almost said the F word. I'm a theater I'm a snob. That's a better way to... I don't know that I would... Would I be annoyed? You know me so well. You know my writing very well. Would I be in the crowd annoyed at that?
Yes.
Would be. Well, interesting.
You know, how quickly would he make it to the balcony? That's my question.
Well, I'd be up there, so, you know... Hey,
oh, well.
Then it would be Statler and Waldorf.
Then quickly.
Yeah. But that happened a few times, and you know, you do something like this with just a crowd of people that may be apathetic, maybe laughing very hard, and you know, there's sometimes where they're like, take two, you know, and then they try to do their lines, or they'd run off stage and come back, and then just everyone would laugh.
If they mess up, they acknowledge it.
Yes,
okay. They're not. They're like
it's very meta.
They're like, that line did not come out right. It sounds like
sketch comedy.
Yeah,
to me.
It is.
I think if I went in knowing that it's like a Groundlings or a largely improv kind of a performance, I think I'd probably be okay. But yeah, I'm not one of those guys. I don't think it's funny when people break characters when I'm watching unless I know that that's part of the show.
For me, it worked because honestly, the script was a collection of scenes. I'll call it that. It was a collection of scenes loosely tied together, nothing really happened. But honestly,
poor Jess is in tears over here now, Kenny.
No, honestly, Jess did great, and I'm not saying that because she's right next to
me. No, you've got to review it. We're going to get an honest review here.
You can give me what you need.
I was actually hoping she'd notice me at some point.
I did get nervous right before one of the songs.
Because the songs were ridiculous.
Like, oh, crap.
They were, but you danced, and the dancing was wonderful.
I didn't know you were singing in this.
Yeah, they were singing.
I don't. The most I sing is, hey, hey, hey.
They did a blurred. They did a blurred lines thing.
Well, that's good.
Oh, I see.
And we made the song better.
Well,
that's not saying
no
much.
One. Okay. No one in the production was a singer, by the way.
Oh, I okay.
No one.
So once again, except not saying
singers
much.
Didn't sing.
The one person that does sing didn't sing.
Yes,
basically.
Oh goodness.
But it's like this. Hey, 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 animal. Where the hell am I? And I was just. I'm all Greg. I'm sorry. I'm just embarrassed.
Oh, you took Greg.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Greg Pascal went.
It was his second time going, so Greg liked it.
Well, Greg told me, he said the first time he went, he came out and his jaw hurt from laughing so much.
Okay.
So, and I asked him, I said, because it was good?
Yeah, at or with.
Or, you know, and he's like, no, it was awesome. He loved it. Okay. So he thought it was fantastic.
It's certain types of people that are really going to love OBT shows.
Sure.
Jess is every director's dream, honestly, because she stayed on script the entire time.
Well, can I just tell you?
And I feel the most bad about that because it's the improv guys that get the most laughs and get the most attention.
No, you're right. You didn't get as many laughs, exactly. But as like an actor, I was like, that's a great British accent right there.
Oh, well, good. And people will, you know, she's certainly not going to tout this herself, but Jess worked very, very hard on this role. She worked very hard on this. All the coaching that I did with you, she recorded the entire session so that she could go back and practice on her own later. And she did. She worked very, very hard on this.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Yeah.
In fact,
so, you know, good job.
And everyone was Yeah, there you go.
But
and everyone is very fun.
I'm going to be honest. The one thing that probably bugged me the most about this entire thing was that there wasn't a whole lot of direction with crossing and counter crossing.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of standing around on stage.
It was.
Yeah. And I can't, from a theater, as a theater guy, I can't. That drives me crazy. That would be like ants under my skin.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I were trying to watch that. So, yeah. But I'm a bastard when it comes to theater.
Sure,
stuff, so.
And you would have been a bastard at this.
I probably would have been.
You know, and everyone gave it their all, even when they messed up. And I'd say the two weak points were the German doctor, who is apparently of German descent, had the worst accent there.
Oh, really?
And then the Steve Rogers character kind of got on my nerves. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he had this bravado. He's like, hey, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, everyone else is really funny, and you're just kind of annoying.
And you're just kind of, he overplayed it.
You know what, though? That's kind of one of the draws to some of these smaller productions, in some of
if that's where you're going.
Forum, yeah,
absolutely.
You've got to understand that you're not walking into a production that is scripted and held to it and, is, for lack of a better explanation, Jess, not professional. Actors, right? I mean, this is...
Well, I think you would say maybe a union equity show. Because these guys are professional. They're getting paid. Sure. You're getting paid to be there.
And that's what I'm saying. This is not your day job specifically.
Right.
This is something that this group loves to do.
They're
doing
enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts. Exactly. That's a better word.
Yeah.
But you got to go thinking it's going to be...
There are just great moments where Captain America or whatever his name is in the play... comes in and he has this motorcycle, but it's just basically a cardboard cutout, so it's all 2D, and he just walks it in with the motorcycle sound. He's like, eat that, Hell Center Theater, and it's just kind of like, for Utah fans, you're like,
sure.
And then it falls over.
He's like, it's not even a real motorcycle. He's like, lays it down, see, just a prop.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of okay.
We play too. Hey, like, yeah, we are a cheap theater.
Yeah, so, see, I'm such a dick at theater. I walked out of London theater. Like, I've gotten up. I went to Marguerite, and this is, in the London theater district. And I stood up with a drink in my hand and went, cheers, I'm out of here, in the middle of the performance because it was so bad.
Yeah.
No, that's where I can't. I'm a real snot when it comes
nobody
to theater.
Nobody sent a thug to out after you to kick your ass?
England, what? Man. I'm twice as big as everybody.
That is true. Yeah.
They just said, well, somebody peed in his Cheerios.
In his Cheerios.
No, I pictured like Vinnie Jones coming after you and breaking you down.
Jess, that was an amazing accent. You really have been working on that.
No, she's been working on it.
I didn't try, guys.
That was awesome.
Gosh, and then she stop says, it.
I didn't even try. That's awesome. No. Well, anyway, okay, so I hope you're all paying attention to this because we are testing you. We will be quizzing you about this episode. We should say this. Did we say this at the beginning? No, we talked about it before we started.
Oh, by the way, the play gets a rental.
Oh.
Well, too bad because it's a live show.
Never
so you miss
be
it,
available.
You ain't going to see it.
If you don't know Kenny's viewing guides, he doesn't give them a 1 to 10 rating or a grade. You give them a see it, a rent it, or a skip it.
Yeah. At least it didn't get a skip it.
No, it's a rental.
It's a rental.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's a rental.
Oh, good.
Which is a good solid C.
That was the safest. That was the safest answer you could have given.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I could have said totally see it.
It will never
But there's only one more day, so, yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, Jess, I'm proud of you, kiddo.
Hey, thanks.
You did,
thanks.
We know you've worked very hard on this, and I know you're probably going to do another one that I'm going to try and get out of going to see.
Yes, but back to the giveaway.
Yes. This is important stuff, Brad.
Thank you, Kitty.
Yeah.
Brad is filling in for Brendan, by the way.
I'll bring it back.
Thanks for getting me out of that, by the way.
On the big rope, he pulled him right back in.
Brad is filling in for Brendan Cook, who's out of town. But
he's in Vegas, I think.
Vegas, yeah. Is what I think. So you're filling in tonight, but you brought treats.
So as many of you may already know, there's a big to-do coming to the downtown Salt Lake City
Fantasy
area.
Con, dude.
By the name of Fantasy Con.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
You got two of the biggest Fantasy Con nerds.
Could you do that in a British accent next time? I'd be way more impressed.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Yeah, she's
gotten pretty good. I gotta give it to her, Ken.
No, she is.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So Fantasy Con is coming July 3rd to the 5th.
3rd to the 5th.
Yep.
And tickets are on sale. You can get tickets at SmithTix or at FantasyCon.com. Or if you pay attention to Radio Ronin, this episode of Radio Ronin, you can win tickets.
You're going to give away 20 tickets.
Yeah, we're going to give away 10 pair of tickets. Some random questions coming from the subject matter portrayed today, And you'll be able to follow that on Facebook. We'll post those questions.
So it's going to go down like this, right? So Brad is here, and we're going to be talking about a variety of things. And then you're going to, after we post this episode of Radio Ronin on Pod Goblin, we're going to ask questions on Facebook.
Yes.
And then those people are going to go answer, and we're going to give you tickets to FantasyCon. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Like the first 10 people to answer correctly get to, or we'll just pick people at random out of the thing if you can answer these quiz questions and then give away tickets.
So we're going to give away 10 pair of tickets based on this episode. So listen closely, ladies and gentlemen.
Awesome. Huh. Okay. Well, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about. Big thanks to Superior Computers.
Stop provoking, isn't it?
SuperiorPCSystems.com. Chad and Jacob are up there. We love those guys. So go check them out at SuperiorPCSystems.com. Also, we are about to launch FantasyCon episode number 3, Back to FantasyCon. If you've not checked these out, make sure you do. In this new episode, we talk about all the amazing guests, and we make some pretty exciting revelations of yet-to-be-announced guests.
Is big for Radio Ronin, too, because as the official podcast of FantasyCon,
yes,
you really are breaking the news. You're introducing first what's going on.
We're making guest announcements, yeah.
And there's some big ones.
We can't even post the show yet because there was an announcement that is under wraps.
Yeah, we recorded it. What was the day? We recorded it on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And as of this recording, it's now Friday, but we have not been able to post it yet because...
If we're lucky, we'll post it on Monday, but probably not.
The ink isn't dry on a lot of these contracts yet, so we still have to wait before we can post a lot.
It's very exciting.
Oh, dude.
You were extra geeky. I was a little impressed.
I felt bad because, you know, you had Larry, who he's the director
of programming. Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to announce everyone. And I was just, you know, oh, and then there's this person coming and this person coming. I felt like I was hiding.
You knew more than Larry did, I think.
There was a difference, though, between you and Larry. Larry is a professional geek.
Okay. Wait, I mean, he gets paid? How do you get paid for this?
Absolutely. So he gets paid to be a geek. Yes,
you can.
How much did you make for that play tonight?
Very few of you are making money.
I make $50 in all.
Hey!
You're right, though. He has a job to do. He, you know, has to announce.
He's a professional geek, and he's good at it. He's he's a font. I mean, he knows all sorts of things about this world. You, on the other hand, goosebumps and all, were saying, Larry, do you mind? I don't want to step on your toes here, but can I say it? Do you mind?
And we obviously can't say the names of these people because Kenny was given inside information that isn't public yet.
And Kenny was jumping around, kind of the pee-pee dance. Like, is it okay? Can I?
Jess, they tried to have me sing the song from Lord of the Rings that Pippin sings.
Whom is behind?
There you go.
The world.
Oh, you don't even have to ask her.
There are many paths to tread.
Stop it! No singing! Stop it! Stop it!
How come you'll sing on this?
I was really nervous.
You'll sing on this episode, but not on that?
We had like 20 people in the room, and they're like, sing, Kenny, sing. And I'm like, dance, monkey.
Kenny turned bright. He turned bright red, grabbed his junk, and started crying.
It reminds me of soccer when I was a kid. Hey, don't pick up the,
don't pick up the ball with your hands.
I have to touch it.
He's like, no, it's not okay. It's not okay.
I don't think we've ever explained the story of that's not okay. We'll save that for a ghost one.
We should. Yeah. A very, very funny thing happened on a ghost hunt with Kenny where he was screaming at the top of his lungs, that's not okay. That's not okay.
Sorry, Kenny.
Well, no, you were scared too a little bit.
All right. So anyway, listen, so we hope you're paying attention because FantasyCon is coming up and there's a lot of really cool stuff happening.
Yes.
In relation to FantasyCon, that you know, so watch for, you know, get your tickets here at Pod Goblin. We're going to give away all kinds of free tickets, and then watch for FantasyCon episode number 3, the official FantasyCon podcast on Pod Goblin. They should be up any day now. Okay, so, and speaking of FantasyCon, there's a story that came out that we have yet to really spend much time with.
Okay.
I think we touched on it in one of the FantasyCon episodes, and for some reason, you know, we when we touched on this, you guys rejoiced. I was not okay with this. Brad, do you know the story I'm talking about?
Yeah, and I wasn't surprised. I mean, so introduce the story. I mean, Kenny, tell us what
it's from Time Magazine, right?
Yeah, Time Magazine first reported on it. It's from a real estate blog, and it's called Estately.com. And so they kind of went, they combed through Facebook. I don't know how they got this information because it seems a little private.
It's a little weird, yeah.
But it's based on interests and likes. And Jess, back me up on this story as well. But they went through and they basically did 12 categories.
Okay. Because
they wanted to find the geekiest state and the least geekiest state in the
12 categories, nation. All leading to one thing. They wanted to find out what the geekiest state in America is.
Yes.
Okay.
Real quick, Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
Cosplay. Harry Potter. Star Wars. Anime movies. Dungeons and Dragons, which we've talked about.
A lot.
LARPing.
LARPing.
Doctor Who. Fantasy literature. Lord of the Rings. Magic the Gathering, which hopefully we'll never play. And
what's
comic
wrong with
books.
Magic?
Okay. Can I just say,
I did a
it?
Radio remote once for a Magic the Gathering thing, and I can still smell the BO. Still.
There's more ass crack at a Magic the Gathering.
Oh, we've
it's
got
so
a site.
True,
we have a site.
True.
Spinari has a
I've
site.
I've seen that.
You've seen the site of ass cracks
like
at Magic the
Gathering.
Like the
dude just posing next to some dude's butt cheeks.
Yeah. So anyway, Utah ends up being the nerdiest state in America.
Yeah. Which, it makes sense. I mean, we had, first-time convention come and get, become the third largest.
It was huge. FantasyCon is going to be huge.
Yeah, so it's just, there are people who crave it, and I think it's because they're long winters, people watch a lot of, they binge-watch a lot of Netflix.
Okay, now you're going, you guys, this is where I was going with this, because I think I'm the only one in the room that's not okay with this.
But you're really not?
Not really. This is not one of those things. As a guy that's lived outside of the state, when I came back in, it was weird. Coming back, okay. Having been out and then coming back into the state, it was weird to see how
it was
like unbelievably
accepted in a big way
and celebrated.
Yes.
The nerdiness. It's a shock. It is a shock to see when you're in here and you're living in Utah and you just see it every day. You begin not to notice it. It's kind of like palm trees in California. Yeah. You start not noticing them after a while, but.
You're right.
It did bug me when I found this out. I was like, come on. There's a lot of really cool stuff about Utah.
Even 7 years ago, and, because I remember one story is why I bring it up. My buddy's like, hey, you watching any good TV shows? And I'm all, I don't want to tell you what TV show I've been watching. And he's like, why? And I'm like, it's called Doctor Who. And he's like, oh, is that that guy with the afro,
Yeah,
and that was on PBS? And I was all,
and, you'll
and that's
my
Tom,
ass.
Tom Baker, by the way.
Tom Baker.
That will come into play later. But, I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, that show really sucked. And I'm like, yeah, but they're doing a new one, and it's kind of cool.
And this wasn't that long ago.
Not that long ago. Yeah. And honestly, within a year or two, everyone is, boom. Doctor Who everywhere.
You know how Portland seems to be kind of the, the official city for
granola.
The counterculture, nouveau hippie,
yes.
Weirdo, corduroy pants crowd, Well, yeah. Now we have become the state of the nerds.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting beat up anymore.
as much.
You were getting beat up?
No, I
don't think Jess
was.
Has ever been beat up.
No, I was bullied.
Aww.
As a kid. Because yeah. I was a nerd.
What yeah. Last year?
Were you carrying your Magic the Gathering cards?
Dang,
I'd bully
guys.
You.
So why so and
pushed
so,
me down.
So I'm not surprised to hear this at all. I'm not necessarily proud to hear this, but I'm not really a Utah native. So it's
you're, yeah,
I agree with what you're saying.
Brad is from Denver, by the way. For people that don't know, Brad hails from Colorado.
Yeah.
So
from the weed capital of the world.
Yeah, it's kind
of
like weed hippies. Utah, basically.
Yes.
Very
it's
similar
Utah
to
with
Utah.
Weed
yeah.
And polar fleece.
Yeah.
More polar fleece.
But you think about it like, oh, sorry, Brad, you were...
Well, I was going to say, I'm not surprised at this because you come over here and from an outsider's point of view, and I've been here long enough to understand both sides, but from an outsider's point of view, you look at it and say, there's no release here. There's nothing to...
Is that what it is? There's not a... you've got the Jazz, but there isn't an abundance of professional
no.
sports here. At least not until... You've got Real now, but when you think about the growth of a culture...
And I don't even know if this is a... If it anchors itself in sports, but it's... There's the drinking issues that Utah
it's
is...
It's not a drinking town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dry town.
There's not a lot... Well... The drug pregnancy. That goes up and down.
Yes,
sure.
But this is a state who is so hungry, and Kenny, you said it perfectly, they're craving some sort of outlet to be creative or weird or different or unique.
Carve
in some,
out their own version
yeah,
of something that isn't
right.
A pose of some other culture
well,
in some other state.
Look
somewhere.
At Utah and Halloween. Like, we've always been celebrated as one of the best states for haunted
Huge.
Houses.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
And people just love to dress up. They
well,
love
on the
to
radio
go.
Shows
it's,
that we did, it, all about
exactly.
the Halloween show.
It's something to do on the weekend, and that's what people in Utah want.
So they're on Prozac during the week, and then on the weekends,
yeah,
they dress up like
Doctor Who and the...
Well, one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this is I wanted to get your guys' take on this, all four of you guys. Is this, if we were going to get a sports, you know, more sports, like a pro football team or a Major League Baseball team, or if we did have something other than this kind of a culture, would this culture last? Or are people being nerds by default because they don't have anything else to do?
They're,
or is it a true, real passion? Or do you see what I'm saying? Are they nerds by default because there's nothing else going on?
There will always be phases, and there will be a backlash eventually.
You think?
I don't think
you think this is a fad? A Utah fad?
It will come in and out.
Yeah, I think it will.
I mean, honestly,
you think so too?
You have nerds now that are naming their kids after sci-fi characters or dressing them up like them, mm-hmm. and their kids are going to grow up and be like, "My parents were morons." Like, yeah,
that's,
you know,
that's a good point. Brad's over there. You know, Brad's very, very deep into the fantasy con thing. Well, all of us are, come to think of it.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Now that I say that out loud, we're all very ingrained in the fantasy con thing. But even you're over here kind of nodding your head going, yeah.
Well, no, what Kenny's saying is it's true. And I think we're all shocked at how many people showed up for the very first Comic-Con.
The Comic-Con here, yeah.
And you know, from the outsider's point of view, and we're all somewhat accustomed to big events, mm-hmm. and how
we're no strangers to it,
and
for
reporting
sure.
on events, and sure. you know, there's ways to make numbers bigger. We thought for sure that they had seen their peak, you know, that they had hit the ceiling first time out, and then when FanX came along and they hit 100,000,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what Kenny is saying is true. They don't have it. They came out. They
fed. The ceiling has not been hit yet.
They gorged on this opportunity.
Just 6 months later.
And they will continue to gorge for a time. But I think it's going to tail off and level out.
And I'm a geek, but I think in
I'm
the future,
already. Can I just tell you? I'm really excited about FantasyCon because it's so different from the other cons. But September rolls around, and you know I'm not going. I'm just not. I'm not interested.
It's hard to find. It's a lot of inventory for this type of genre. This type of interest, especially this large of a gathering.
Yeah,
it's a lot of inventory.
Well, and I've had people ask me, say, "Oh, are you going to the one in September?" I said, "No, I'm going to do FantasyCon. Two cons with the other guys. That was plenty. Yeah. I'm done. And then I'm just going to wait for the next FantasyCon. I think I just can't. It's too much. It's way too much. I can't see that many Pikachus in one. You know, I can't see it.
We had this saying way back in the radio days,
mm-hmm.
When we would go to Ogden, the Ogden Street Fest. Remember this?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Our good buddy Jim Facer. Oh, yep, we'd go up there. He would drag everybody up and say,
"Force us to go.
Mandatory. This everybody who I pay must spend their time at the Ogden Street Festival." And the people would come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, from
the
everywhere.
We'd stand around
living in the sewers.
Yeah, mine shafts, sewers. I mean, you name it. They
is
were
it because there was something to do?
That's part of it.
Okay.
I think that's part of it. But it's something that it doesn't happen all the time, and that these people have lives of some degree outside of. You know, it's their personal interest.
I was at the Ogden Street Festival my very first time. At the Ogden Street Festival, I had been there for 10 minutes. You may have been with me. I think we were both about 22, 23 years old, just kids. And I remember sitting down on a folding chair and seeing a dude with a homemade Bart Simpson back tattoo. And it was Bart Simpson smoking a joint. Homemade.
That's a timeless tattoo.
Knife fighting.
Not at the time it wasn't.
Yeah. Knife fighting a Tongan chick.
What?
So he right was knife fighting a Tongan chick with a Bart tattoo? Or the Bart tattoo was
he
fighting
was shirtless.
A
he ripped
Tongan.
His shirt off and pulled his blade.
Oh.
And she pulled her blade. And the next thing I know, it's West Side Story in front of me. And I'm sitting there. I had rollerblades. Once upon a time, people may not remember this. Brad, you certainly do. I was the national spokesperson for rollerblade inline skates at one point.
What?
As a young kid. No, very true.
Hey. Like Veriflex, Macroblades, which one?
No, rollerblades.
Oh, not Veriflex. What's this Veriflex stuff?
It was the cheap stuff. You
if
know?
You shop at Kmart, you well,
rollerblades.
Hey, my mom bought me Veriflex.
The actual brand rollerblades.
Okay.
Brad, who went by the radio name Norman Church, was also a spokesperson. And so we go do these clinics. We go skate around. And I remember sitting there in my rollerblades watching these two knife fighting. After just doing, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm never going to forget this moment.
As you're 8 feet tall on your rollerblades.
And I was kind of excited to come back to the next Ogden Street Festival because it's like, when do you get to see this? a real knife fight right in front of me.
So what Chung is saying is we should be expecting knife fights. We should be expecting awkward tattoos.
Well, the Fanex.
Yeah, there are people fighting.
The highlight was a 350-pound guy in a dead mouse head fighting a guy dressed up as He-Man. That was my highlight of Fanex.
Over a toy.
Over an action figure.
Yeah.
You missed that.
I did miss that, yes.
And it was a real fight. And that He-Man costume looked like shit, too. Can I just tell you?
Was it the cardboard He-Man costume?
Yes.
I think I saw that guy.
Yeah.
Can I make a point real quick
of
going back to this whole survey? No, sorry, guys. Hate to bring it back.
No, sorry. But maybe I'm making a point here.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm making a point here because I'm talking about this stuff like it's exciting. And I don't consider myself so... I mean, I love Star Wars. I'm a Star Wars fan. I love sci-fi movies and things like that. But am I ever going to show up in a dead mouse head anywhere? No. Am I ever going to show up, you know, dressed up like a stormtrooper and, you know, well, as cool as I think the costumes are? No, I'm not going to do
that. Listen, our society needs permission.
Okay.
The religious upbringing,
sure.
The general overtone of Salt Lake City of Utah is we need permission. We need guidance. Okay.
Okay.
And this is giving people permission to be different.
Okay.
And socially accepted and be different.
I see what you're saying.
I was walking along.
It's an excuse to be slutty.
No, I was walking along, and I'm sitting there, and I'm embarrassingly checking out this.
No, just say it.
I was checking out some chick's ass that was, like, walking in front of me, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm thinking to myself, where are all these people coming from? I mean, and she turns her, and there's a little kid standing next to her, and I'm like, oh. I recognize this kid, and she turns around, and I'm caught off guard because this is one of my wife's friends. One of my son's friends at school, and I'm now checking her out, going, "Hey, that's a really cool Xena costume, baby." And she's like, "Oh, hi."
And then you felt guilty.
I kind of did, but she didn't feel guilty. She felt like she had permission
to come
dressed like a slut.
On the same point, you know, you say it's about being different, but it's actually about being united. Because here you have a lot of LDS people, you have a lot of not LDS
people. We live in a very polarized community.
Especially Salt Lake is half and half. And it's a place where we can all get together, whether we have different morals
or
not,
point.
And dress like the cast of Firefly.
Well, and here's the thing about that, too. Like...
Just, am I wrong?
Gosh.
No, you're right.
No, you're right on.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
And there's a judgment-free zone. Even though it's kind of fun to judge. You still after a day spending at a convention, you're just like, okay, whatever.
I kind of wonder if there's not somebody out there that is hearing this, listening to Podgoblin.com, going, "Thank you, Chunga." Somebody is finally saying, "Look, I am burned on this. This is not okay."
But
I'm not burned on it. I'm still really enjoying it. But going to a fantasy con once a year is going to be great for me. You know, that's what I'm good with.
Yeah.
I'm not good with every, you know, 3-4 months, you know, having to go do the conventions.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. It's just not going
to
happen.
Well, and kind of back to what Kenny said, though. Kind of back to what Kenny said, because you guys keep cutting me off, and it's fine.
I'm sorry, Jess.
Hey, Jess, how's it going?
Whatever. I don't even care anymore.
Were you talking
about little sisters?
If you'll talk in a British accent, we will listen more often.
I think everybody would, actually.
No, but I mean, kind of coming back to the being united.
So, Chunga.
Oh, hey, Brad.
I'm kidding. Go, go.
Punching distance.
She went for a nut shot.
She
just went for a nut shot. Did you see that?
She did just swing at my nuts.
Wow. She's done that before because she went so fast. Like, that's practice.
Yeah.
That's learned.
With her left hand, she wasn't even looking.
Uh-uh.
Okay, go. Jess.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, you look at Utah, most of it is rural. It's a lot of small
towns. Most of it is, sure.
You know, and growing up, like, I didn't have that outlet. I was really into, like, fantasy and everything.
Because you grew up in a rural area.
I did.
You?
There was nothing. There was cows, pretty much. But, like, we didn't have a comic book store. My comic book fix was watching X-Men on TV and that sort of thing. So it's kind of, I think, the big conventions has finally given people something to... express their love of the things.
And honestly,
it goes back to what you were saying, about what Kenny was saying.
And going back to sports, if the Jazz weren't so mediocre for the past 20 years, we'd have a lot more sports fans in the state.
But we do have a ton of sports fans.
We do.
They ostracize us.
It's because that's all we have. We only They're have mean. The jazz.
Sports fans are nothing more than comic book geeks in sports
jerseys. It's true.
It's the same.
They're worse, actually.
Fantasy sports is D&D for sports guys.
I collected basketball cards. My dream was to be in the NBA until I realized I had no, you know, athletic ability. Mm-hmm.
He can't even play pool.
Any geek.
It's a true story.
Any geek or any nerd that tells you sports guys or vice versa, any sports guy who tells you I'm not a geek or ostracizes the geek and nerd side is an idiot. If you've ever watched these guys play any fantasy football, any fantasy draft,
every bit as nerdy.
They're worse. It's ridiculous.
I think you're right.
I just play Final Fantasy football. So, anyways, okay.
Do you get big swords and you just slice off your opponent's head? And you're like, Squall. Done.
Back to my point and back to the article, guys.
Right, Kenny.
See,
sorry.
The number one and number two states is Utah and Alaska, I may add this in. Every state, and I read a survey or report about a couple years, 5 years ago, and it said America is actually not multiplying as much as they need to be. Like children, we're not having enough children. There are only two states that are producing enough children to make up for their own state, and it's Utah and Alaska. So it's kind of like we're just like, ooh, oh, winter sucks.
So what are you doing?
Let's just have kids and watch Doctor Who or Breaking Bad on Netflix.
No, I think it's everybody's so lazy they don't want to get up and get a condom. So, it's your turn. No, not
insight into the life and times of Brad Davis. Yeah.
Your turn.
Every single one of his children was an accident.
No. Yeah. So,
They're a blessing. Everyone is an accidental blessing.
Well, there are some other interesting parts of this article. I read it too. And
listen, my son Gandalf is will absolutely be pissed that you said that.
Stop it, Gandalf.
But that's the problem. Like, remember
that's why you call him Gandhi.
Yeah,
now it makes sense,
doesn't it?
Okay,
but look at all those people who grew up. I mean, like in the 80s, and they're like, "Yeah, my hippie parents named me Moonchild, but I changed my name to Steven."
Uh huh.
You know, it's gonna be like, "Yeah, they named me Han Solo." But I changed my name to Robert. You know, it's like, these people are going to hate their parents. So, yeah, that's just how it is. I think it's kind of a hippie movement.
You're not going to get a lot of Bilbo.
No Bilbos.
Please, no Bilbos.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Poor kid.
But my first son.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, anyway, but in the study, they also have places that are, you know, it's nerd heaven or nerd hell.
Yes.
And I came from Massachusetts, where I was at when the show went away the first time, and Massachusetts is labeled as nerd hell. And I think that was one of the reasons that it was such a thing, because I was kind of jumping back and forth between Southern California and Massachusetts. And both of those places, this kind of stuff is still very much not okay.
Taboo.
Yeah, totally.
It's not okay. You know, I went to WonderCon in Anaheim once, and there were other people in the hotel and other people around them. Spinari was there, and these guys were ridiculed even at their own convention. Like they were mocked even.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, not okay. And here it is just.
Like,
culture
honestly,
shock. Of, I mean, just celebrated.
I wear this shirt. I'm wearing a Doctor Who shirt. So I am one of these people who are hating on. And I walk into just some random store and people are like, nice shirt. That's awesome. Yo.
And everyone goes, it's a Megan Lara shirt.
Yeah. And then I suck
know
in.
The artist.
I suck in like this. Oh, really? It's kind of cool, right?
And except you came down to the studio today.
Yeah.
And Brad says, hey, what are you wearing? He's like, Doctor Who shirt. You don't need to talk about it.
I said, no big deal.
Oh, that's what you said.
Doctor Who shirt, no big deal.
No big deal.
Don't make fun of me, Brad.
And then I said, what number doctor is he?
Number 10.
Brad's learning quick now doing the fantasy con thing.
Yeah.
He's learning really quick.
I'm picking up some of the vernacular.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, it's an interesting discussion because I think I'm like the only one. I'm the nerd now because I'm the only one in the state that's apparently not comfortable with the fact that we are the nerdiest state in America.
Yeah.
I don't think you're the only one, but you're probably in the minority.
I'm definitely. Well, obviously. I'm obviously in the minority. It's not that I don't like this stuff. I do like this stuff.
Do you know
stuff,
how Jess and I view you? Like, we are missionaries, and we are trying to convert
you're
you
trying
eventually.
To convert me.
Honestly.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually just gave you the first discussion of nerddom, so good luck.
If you guys had a felt board, I'd be so much more into it. But, you know, I love D&D. I love Star Wars. I love all the nerdy stuff. I just don't. You know, I'm very much in the closet about it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's where nerds should keep all of this stuff.
In the closet.
Yeah, keep in the closet. You know, you guys... it's in there with my Spice Girls DVD and costume.
And a Spice Girls costume.
My ginger spice.
Oh, Ginger is the best. In the ginger costume.
She was the best, wasn't she?
She looks best in the sporty spice.
But I like sporty spice. She's awesome.
Right?
I always thought she was kind of like a lesbian.
That's sporty.
Yeah, she said sporty spice.
Oh, I thought you were talking about scary.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Sporty spice.
Yeah, for me, it was always ginger and baby.
You want to know something? For the longest time, and I kid you not, for the longest time, I thought all of those names were mockery names for the Spice Girls. I thought that it was somebody else.
Yeah.
I thought everybody was making fun of them. Oh, yeah, Sporty Spice and Scary Spice. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Scary Spice. That's funny. Well, she is kind of scary. Actually, they're so stupid.
Fun fact, that's actually how they got their names, because they performed at a concert, and some journalist is like, yep, Scary.
Serious.
You know, you got the track pants on. I mean, they all had their characters, but he's like Sporty, Babyface, you know, that sort of stuff.
You know what's
funny? That's how they got their names.
You and I had a conversation. You probably don't remember this. This is down in Provo at X96 years ago. Spice Girls came out, and we were all sitting around back in Andrea's office. We're having a discussion about the Spice Girls.
No windows, no ventilation.
And everybody was just trashing, you know, about how Nirvana and Soundgarden, all the grunge bands were just it. And I remember turning and I looked at you and went, it's over. It's all over. These guys just killed grunge. And you went, yep. And we both kind of sat there and we're just, and everybody, I didn't dare say that in the room to anybody other than Brad, and you acknowledge that, and then we just kind of let it go. And I was right. I mean, I was right. They did kill grunge. Pop music came back in a very big way with the Spice Girls, and I was a closet Spice Girls fan. Shut up.
I like Spice Girls.
Thank you, Jess.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. I expected
I'm
that
editing
from Jess.
This out. I'm taking this part out.
Unfortunately, the Spice Girls were around when Jess was born.
True story.
So she's in the second generation.
It's retro now.
Now it's a classic band.
Later that night, Brad and I went to the Candlebox show, and we forgot that whole conversation.
Candlebox for
Somebody
real?
Somebody threw a brick through the window at Bessie.
Yeah, it was a cinder block, dude.
That's right.
That was the scariest show I ever went to. It was at the Bar and Grill.
Okay.
Somebody threw a cinder block through Bessie's window and picked up Artie Fufkin and threw him over the band.
How do you throw Artie Fufkin?
He was skinny.
Okay.
No, not at that time he wasn't. That was the big Artie Fufkin.
Oh, that was the big Artie Fufkin.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
It?
He was not throwing.
So someone is raging.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I remember sitting there. I remember saying to Brad, don't let me die. Don't let me die at that show.
And you've got Candlebox just singing Mellow Alternative and then.
Oh, it was nuts. No, yeah. It was raging.
They were raging.
But what was I listening to on the way home? Spice Girl.
Chung has been known to listen to Spice Girls, Michael Jackson, and Christmas CDs throughout the whole year. That is true.
He just cut you out. By the way,
right?
It's so true. It's so true.
Even one of those CDs is the
Christmas
Chipmunks
music like 2 days ago in the car.
You can go get in Black Magic right now. There's Christmas music in the CD player.
It's true.
Wait, what do you think of the Michael Jackson's new CD, by
Love
the way?
It. We were listening to it before he got here.
Again, I thought they were trying to pull one over on me. They're like, this is the new Michael Jackson song. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And they said Jess was the shit talker. I'm thinking, no, I don't think so.
No. It's the new Michael Jackson lyrics, the new song, the lyrics were recorded for the Thriller album in 1983. Justin Timberlake and I believe it's Quincy Jones got together. They rearranged. They did new arrangements around the vocals. They added Justin Timberlake to them, and the songs are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Yeah, you liked them, too?
Yeah.
Jess.
Kenny D, ladies.
What do you think?
I haven't heard them yet.
Oh, you haven't? Oh.
No.
Well, we'll play them later.
Because I'm sure, I mean, this is the generation that they're doing it for.
Absolutely.
Everyone liked Michael Jackson when you were 10. Sorry, here's another entirely new tangent, but everyone liked him when I was 10. And then he kind of became a pervert. And this is in the early 90s.
Right, was accused of being a pervert.
Yeah, accused of being a pervert. And so all of us, you know, 10, 11-year-olds were like, yeah, that's gross. Oh, gross.
Yeah.
I remember when I was about 17 years old, I'm in a Hastings bookstore.
Yeah.
Walking around, just reading magazines with my buddy. And I hear Billie Jean on their radio.
Uh-huh.
And I go, who sings this? This song is awesome. Because I had no... I totally forgot. And he's like, dude, it's Michael Jackson. I'm all... I'm buying this right now. So we bought History Volume 1 and 2.
Oh, so you're a Michael Jackson fan.
Oh, I am
then.
A Michael Jackson fan.
All right.
And yeah, I love History. I think it's a great album.
See? There you go. Well, I'm one of the few people. Yeah. I was lucky enough. I got to go to Neverland. This is after he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the famed closet, the molestation closet. And can I just tell you, that the smallest of kids couldn't fit in that closet. Mm. It is a teeny, tiny. There is no, absolutely no way. It's smaller than like sitting in a Miata. Okay. You know, it's like that small. There's just no way. Hmm. Absolutely no. We had Vanilla Ice on the show. Vanilla Ice has been in that closet. Michael Jackson himself took him in the closet to say, how could I have done anything in here?
Yeah.
And Vanilla Ice said on our show, he's like, there is zero part of me. Rob Van Winkle, there is zero part of me that says he could have molested anybody.
Now, Sean, you know Sean Neff.
Sean Neff, yeah.
Good friend of ours.
Neff Apparel, he's a great guy. Very, very good guy.
Sean grew up with Mike in the Michael Jackson era inside of his little boundary.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they were in the same
San
neighborhood.
Santa Ynez, California.
Michael Jackson has had the Neff family to his home on multiple occasions to have dinner.
Really?
Multiple occasions. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like regularly.
What does Sean say about this?
He defends him. I was going to say is, you guys are defending him, but you're saying Vanilla Ice is defending him.
It's very hard for me to even fathom how any of that could have happened with the way the staff is, with where his master bedroom was that I've been in, with where the closet is.
Master bedroom. I thought he was going somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, with his master. Yeah.
We're dirty.
I find it very hard to believe that he could have done any of what he's accused of doing.
And that's what Sean said. He's like, I've been in that room. I've spent hours there. We would go on Sunday afternoons and have dinner and play. I mean, you know, this is when he was a little kid.
And, you know, Sean's comfortable with this, right? Sean is a very good Mormon guy.
Oh, yeah. He's very comfortable. And
very Mormon.
He says that's why Michael had him over, was Michael saw the Neff family as, this is the Mormon family. I want to associate with this Mormon family. So he would have them, you know, once a month, every other month, something like that. But he says it was dozens of times he was over there and defends him. No, there's no way. You know, we know them.
Very interesting.
We've seen this behind the scenes, you know, stuff. And
I think anybody that goes to that inner circle and sees this just knows. I don't know how we got off on this tangent.
I know, my fault.
But I think it's interesting just the same because I never really talked on the radio about the fact that I've been to Neverland.
Yeah,
I think I may have mentioned it in passing a couple of times just because I didn't want the emails. I just didn't want to eat the shit, to be honest with you, because I knew that a lot of the audience was just going to go nuts. So, but we did have Rob Van Winkle, Vanilla Ice, on the show, and he said no. Zero part of me believes that he molested anybody. Hmm. And this all comes down to the song. Have you heard it? You have heard the new Michael Jackson. What do you think?
I like it. It's actually not my favorite on the album either.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. There's an album?
There's a whole album.
It's a single?
It's called Escape.
Escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Escape.
Yeah.
And it's good.
It's really good.
Fetty LeGrand did a lot of remixes for it.
So it's a little, it's got an EDM flavor and a little
very much so.
Timberlake.
It's very disco-y. And, it's very new. Yeah. And you know, Spinari's really into the new disco. I love the new disco. And it's a very disco album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really good stuff.
Okay.
Just check it out.
Though, I mean, the one song I heard was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Once I got past the fact that you were full of shit.
After you turn off Jingle Bells.
It's Tony Bennett. Okay, it's the Tony Bennett.
You gotta stop,
home
man.
For the holidays.
Help no, me.
Yeah.
Help me. I wish I could.
Shut up.
It says
shut
a lot up, about kid. How Spinari's turned
shut
out.
Shut up, kid.
So anyway, okay. Speaking
of music, though, I do want to ask you guys. Because I know you guys are big Beats fans.
Yes,
so I want to get your opinion on the Beats and the Apple. You know, conglomeration, whatever they're doing.
Well, you know, it's funny because we were doing Guys on Girls last night.
Yeah,
we were doing Guys on Girls, and we spent the better part of an hour just kind of hanging around off the air talking about this.
Like pre-recording, talking
okay.
Specifically the Apple Beats.
Sure.
And Kenny, Evolution. You're very much an Apple fanboy.
Yes, I am.
Spinari, Brad, and myself are all very much Beats fanboys. Jess, do you, well, you're wearing Beats right now, so.
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
Sure, I'm a Beats fangirl, sure, Chunga, whatever. I don't like it.
You don't like it.
I don't like it, and here's why. Because they fired the company. There's a branding company, a branding and design firm called Ammunition. And it was Ammunition that designed all of the Beats.
Hmm.
Designed the ones that we're wearing right now. I'm wearing a neon yellow pair of mixers. You're wearing Beats Pros. Jess is wearing Beats Pros. Brad is wearing mixers. Spinari is wearing. And we're all wearing Beats in here. All of these were designed by Ammunition, and Apple came in and fired them. Said, see you later. We don't want you to you're not designing our Beats anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, but if there's any company on the planet that can take a well-designed product and redesign it and make it better?
It's Apple.
It's Apple.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Their products are typically known to last years.
Whereas that is very true.
Beats are actually kind of known to break pretty easily.
Depending
right
on the models that you buy.
Yes.
Not the models that we use.
Oh, yeah. Not the really, really expensive ones.
The ours are all aluminum, largely aluminum mm-hmm. and metal. But the plastic ones, yeah, very much so. They do break.
So if Apple can improve on that, then great.
Mm-hmm.
I think Apple needs this. Right now, Apple
I think,
needs
I think
this.
I think that's true.
Well, do you think they will improve on it? Do you because Chunga's point is pretty valid. I mean, that to Beats is killing it right now.
Well, and they put everybody. Think about it. If you think about, remember, you guys remember this? Before there was Beats, all you had were really generic, very corporate, very bland looking headphones that didn't sound.
They're Sony Walkman headphones.
I was a Sony guy for years, as you know, Brad. I was a Sony. I was only Sony, and it was Sennheiser headphones before that.
Right.
And Beats came out and changed everything. And I love the way they sound. I still love the way they sound. I hope they don't change that. Do you think they're going to tweak it too much, Kenny,
an Apple guy perspective? I think they only bought them for the app. I think they bought them for the Beats streaming.
Oh, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they need that, because iTunes Radio sucks. You know, their ping service wasn't very good.
Right.
They can't
capitalize iTunes Radio on that. Never took off.
No. And in iTunes, people use it like crazy, obviously.
Sure.
So they want a streaming service that can be very popular.
Beats Music is a good service.
Yes.
It's a very good service, which, by the way, you can get Jimmy Chunga's new single, Sound.
Nice.
On Beats Music or on iTunes. So either or, go check it out.
Yeah,
I do not want to work at Home Depot,
but
so
anymore.
Go buy that
anymore.
Anybody need some lug nuts? You come find me. Anyway, yeah,
which they don't sell at Home Depot, by the way.
I don't know,
but no, I don't think they changed the headphones for a while because
you don't
think
so.
They haven't changed the iPhone for a while. They don't have the innovation anymore, and so
that's
I'm hoping.
True.
They're like, hey, Dr. Dre, since you don't do music anymore, clearly, could you kind of hip us up a little bit?
We did see, Spinari and I saw, they were really sly how they did this. They have actually developed MacBook computers with Beats already in them.
Okay.
They've already developed a new Beats Solo model already. They
came out yesterday.
It came out yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, this is
cool. Now, we saw a MacBook that had the Beats logo inside the Apple. On the computer.
Oh.
Spinari says it's a sticker, doesn't think it's real. I don't know. We'll have to show it to you.
I don't think Apple will do that.
No. All of the laws of advertising and marketing, yeah. And Kenny, you'll
say,
support
do
this.
Not put mm-hmm. the Beats you, logo yeah, inside you, the Apple.
I can see that on an iPhone.
Crossover.
On an iPhone, I can totally see
to
that.
To be honest, yeah. Beats is a very small acquisition of Apple. It did cost them $3
billion,
but
$3 billion
worth $160 billion.
Holy
so
cow.
This is a very small part. They won't put the B inside the Apple.
No way.
They
just won't. I think you guys are probably right. Yeah. It did look cool though. What we saw.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
A crazy looking.
I think
thing.
The acquisition is pretty smart because what you know, Apple is known for its design and its engineering and its you know they're taking a now hot item, a big brand that absolutely is symbiotic with what they with their product line as it stands.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great concept to be able to. Own, but then retool.
Mm-hmm.
Make it cooler.
Well, you have to do that.
As
Apple's anything
known
matures,
for.
Yeah, you have to do that. And they are known for that. So I just hope they don't mess with the build quality or the sound very much because I love the way for DJing. You know, Spinari and I do use other headphones. We use Soul Republic headphones. We use Onkyo mixing headphones.
Sennheiser
headphones. We've got tables, hundreds of headphones in here that we use for our music production. But
it's actually kind of silly.
It's a little scary. It's a little
same with shoes for you guys too.
Very much so.
Yeah. What's
and,
up with
well,
that?
Brad. Yeah, Brad's the same way. With
oh, okay.
The shoes. Yeah. But as far as playing live and performing live and doing podcasting, it's all about the Beats headphones.
Hmm.
So I hope they don't change them. You know, because I really do love the way they sound.
And Beats, by the way, if you're listening, you can contact...
back in the day...
We're all using Beats headphones.
Yeah.
Send us money.
Well, and back in the day, it was like, why don't you give me your Sony headphones, and we're going to hook you up with some Beats headphones, because they wanted everybody in Beats.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
No.
Now you're paying $500.
Everybody is in Beats now, so what they've done worked.
Yeah, in fact, the pair that Spinari is wearing right now, he's wearing a matte black pair of headphones that are some of the rarest headphones in the world. Those Beats, if you can find them, run close to $700.
That's ridiculous.
That pair of headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're called the Detox. Those are real Detox, and they're just unbelievably rare.
I thought he got that after he went through. I thought that was like a, yeah, like a promo.
And they sound fantastic. Yeah. They sound really, really good. But Spinari is the only person I know. Out of all the DJs in the world, he's the only person I know that actually owns a pair of Detox headphones.
I think they only made, what was it, 1,000?
I think it was less than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very few people got those. Basically, Dr. Dre's personal friends got those, and Spinari apparently is
he graduated juvie.
You have found Podgoblin.com.